بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continuing with what the author here mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, clarifying the third principle, and that is to know the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he mentioned about what he was sent with, that Allah sent him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to warn the people from shirk and to call to tawheed. And this is the meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah, to warn from shirk and to clarify that everything that is worshipped besides Allah is not worthy of worship, and it is worshipped in falsehood, and that Allah alone, He is the one who is worthy of worship and deserving of worship, and He is the one who is worshipped in truth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, أخذ على هذا عشر سنين يدعو للتوحيد وبعد العشر عرج به إلى السماء وفرضت عليه صلوات الخمس. That he took to this for 10 years, calling to tawheed, and then after 10 years he was taken to the heavens, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فرضت عليه الصلوات الخمس, and the 5 daily prayers, they were made obligatory upon him. وصلى في مكة ثلاث سنين, and he prayed after that in Mecca 3 years. وبعدها أمر بالهجرة إلى المدينة, and after that he was commanded to make hijrah to Al-Madinah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this manner, the prayer was legislated, 2 rak'ah in the beginning, and or the prayers that were ruba'iyah, that were 4 rak'ah, or 4 rak'ahat, they were legislated in the beginning, 2 rak'atain. And this has been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, As-salatu awwalu ma furidat rak'ataini. Awwalu ma furidat rak'ataini. Wa fa'ukirrat salatu safari wa utimmat salatu al-hadar. That in the beginning the prayer was made an obligation, 2 rak'ah. Or was obligatory to pray 2 rak'ah. And then after the hijrah, the prayer of the traveler was left the same and established in that manner, any 2 rak'ah. And as for the prayer of the resident, then it had been completed and made 4 rak'ah. So this is from the affairs of the legislation of the prayer, and from its great virtue is that it was legislated above the heavens. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was brought in front of Allah azza wa jalla in this manner to receive this legislation and the rest of the legislation and the ahkam al-shar'iyyah. Al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, and the rest of the rulings and the affairs of the deen that are obligatory or recommended, all of them, they were legislated on the earth while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon the earth and the revelation descended upon him. But for the legislation of a salah, the 5 daily prayers, he ascended to the heavens. He ascended to the heavens, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَبَعْدَهَا أُمِرَ بِالْهِجْرَةِ الْمَدِينَةِ. And after this, yani after these 13 years, he was commanded to make hijrah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is after he met the people of Al-Madinah, and he had met in the 11th year 6 individuals from the Khazraj, and he called them to Islam, and he read the Quran to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they accepted Islam, and they went back to Al-Madinah, and they spread the deen likewise. And from their efforts, from those 6, it was not a home from the houses of the Ansar, and the people of Al-Madinah, except that Islam had entered into their home, and Islam was spreading quickly. And this has something to do with the fact that the Jews, they used to threaten the mushrikeen, and he threatened the people, the Arabs in Al-Madinah, threatened them with the coming of a new prophet. And the Jews would tell the people of Al-Madinah, whenever the new prophet comes, we're going to follow him and we're going to destroy you. And we're going to destroy you. And so the people of Al-Madinah, they heard about the new prophet, and they heard about the coming of a new prophet. They heard about the coming of a new prophet. And they heard this from the Jews, and they remember that they were threatened by the Jews with this new prophet. So whenever they're in Mecca, in the Mosin, Mosin al-Hajj, and they heard about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew, oh, this is what the Jews were telling us about. We better hasten and accept Islam before what they mentioned will be a reality. In any case, they also were aware of the coming of a new prophet from what they heard from the Jews, from the Yahud. And so they went back and they spread the deen the next year. In the time of Hajj, after that, 10 more from the Khazraj, they came, and 2 from the Aus, and 12 total. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they gave him an allegiance, and they accepted Islam. And the Prophet sent with them back to Medina Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. And Mus'ab ibn Umair, he went back along with them to teach them the deen, and to teach them an Islam, and to teach them the sunnah, and to clarify to them the rulings and the legislation and the likes. And then after almost a year, he came back and informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of how well the da'wah was going. And Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu ijtahad ijtihadan shadeedan fi da'wat al-nas fi Yathrib, yani fi al-Madinah ila al-Islam. He strove hard and he was successful in calling and inviting the people to the deen and clarifying the haqq and teaching them the sunnah radiyallahu anhu. And he came back and he informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the success of his efforts. And then after that, the next year, this is the 13th year now, the 80 some odd individuals came from Al-Medina, and they gave an allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they would aid him, that they would support him. أنهم يمنعون يمنعونه بما يمنع أنفسهم, that they would fight for him and defend him the way they would defend their own souls and their families, and that they would aid him, and that he can come to them and they will support him. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made hijrah to Al-Madinah because of the aid and the support that Allah had given the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the and also the honor that Allah had given to the people of Medina by accepting Islam and being those individuals who aid the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned ayatu al-iman hubbu al-ansar wa ayatu al-nifaqi bughdu al-ansar, that the sign of sincere and true faith is that one loves the ansar. And a sign of a hypocrisy is that one detests or dislikes the Ansar. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they were in a state of weakness in Mecca, and they were being oppressed and they were being harmed, and they were not able to establish the deen outwardly and apparently in a manner that is correct. It's even been mentioned that possibly they didn't even pray the Jumu'ah together in Mecca until he came to Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the oppression that they were under from the people of Mecca. But after the aid of the Ansar, by the permission of Allah, by his decree subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the honor that he gave to them to aid his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam became strong. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he migrated and he arrived into Medina, and he established Masjid Quba, and he established Masjid al-Nabawi salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, the legislation began to complete, and the obligation of fasting had begun, and the obligation of zakat, and likewise jihad had been established, as the author here mentioned, and the Islamic society and the Islamic government was established, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided the believers and granted them success and victory over their enemies, and they were victorious. And this is from what Allah had decreed for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the aid of Al-Ansar radiyallahu anhum. The author, he mentioned, وَالْهِجْرَةُ الْإِنْتِقَالُ مِنْ بَلَدِ الشِّرْكِ إِلَى بَلَدِ الْإِسْلَامِ. الْهِجْرَةُ الْإِنْتِقَالُ مِنْ بَلَدِ الشِّرْكِ مِنْ بَلَدِ الشِّرْكِ إِلَى بَلَدِ الْإِسْلَامِ. الْهِجْرَة means to migrate. It's from the verb هَجَرَة. هَجَرَة يعني بِمَعْنَى تَرَكَ, to leave something. وَالْهِجْرَةِ مَنْ تَرَكَ بَلَدَهُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Now the one who left his land, and he cut off his people, and he cut off, he left his land, and he left his the land that he was raised in and that he lives in, and he went to another land. Al-hijratu al-intiqalu min balad al-shirk ila balad al-islam. It is to move from the lands of disbelief and shirk, polytheism, to the lands of al-islam. The author, he mentioned, wal-hijratu fariidatun ala hadhihi al-ummah min balad al-shirk ila balad al-islam wa hiya baqiyatun ila an tuqum as-sa'ah. And al-hijra, migrating from the lands of disbelief to the lands of al-islam for the sake of Allah alone, this is a obligation. It's an obligation upon this ummah from to make hijrah from the belt of or from the land of shirk to the lands of al-islam, and it remains until the hour is established, and it remains until the hour is established. The author, he mentioned the evidence for this. What dalilu qawluhu ta'ala innal ladina tawaffahum wal malaikatu zalimi anfusihim qalu fima kuntum. Verily those, as for those whom the angels take their souls in death while they are wronging themselves, they say to them, what condition were you in? قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They said that verily we were oppressed and weakened the earth. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تُكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. And the angels will say to them, was that not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to immigrate therein? فَأُولَئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. Such men will find their abode in the hellfire, and what an evil destination this is. So therefore, those, and this is what the angels, they mention, whenever they take the souls of those who oppress themselves at the time of death. نَعَمْ ظَلِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَلِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Verily the angels, those whom the angels, they take their souls, while they are oppressing themselves. Now, what does that mean? Meaning they stay behind. This is in reference to Hijrah directly, this verse. Those who stay behind with the disbelievers, even though the migration had become obligatory upon them, to emigrate and to leave their land had become obligatory upon them, but they stayed there instead, and they neglected that obligation. This verse is revealed with regards to that. With regards to that. قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. They said, oh, we were weak in the land, and the angels will say to them, was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to migrate therein? فَأُولَئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمَ. These individuals, their destination or their abode is the hellfire. وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, after that, he mentioned, إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلَةً وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ السَّبِيلَ فَأُولَئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. Except the weak amongst the men and the women and the children who cannot devise a plan, nor are they able to direct their way. These are they whom Allah is likely to forgive them, and Allah is ever oft pardoning and oft forgiving. Meaning those people who were truly weak, they're not claiming. I mean, those people who did not have the ability physically or financially to migrate, and they did not migrate because of a legislated excuse, then these ones, they are excused. And asa Allahu an yafu anhum wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahim. عَفُوًا غَفُورًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. These are the ones that Allah Azza wa Jalla will pardon and forgive. And verily Allah is oft pardoning and oft forgiving. The ulama, they mentioned with regards to al-hijrah today, as the author, he mentioned, وَهِيَ بَاقِيَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَن تَقُومَ السَّاعَةِ, that this obligation, it remains, the obligation of al-hijrah and migrating for the sake of Allah from the lands of disbelief to the lands of al-islam, it remains until the day of resurrection. It remains until the hour is established. And this is with regards to those who the obligation is upon them. And the author, he mentioned likewise after this, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ أَرْضِي وَاسِعَةٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَاعْبُدُونَ. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, O my slaves, O my servants, those who believe, verily my earth is spacious, so worship me alone. قال البغوي رحمه الله سبب نزول هذه الآية في المسلمين الذين بمكة لم يهاجروا ناداهم الله باسم الإيمان. The reason for the revelation of this verse, البغوي, he mentioned in his tafsir, Rahimahullah ta'ala is that it was referring to some Muslims who were in Mecca and they did not migrate yet. And Allah, He called them with the name of Al-Iman. And He called them, O you who believe, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu, addressing them in this manner. Addressing them in this manner. So the author, he mentions, and I say again, he says, وَهِيَ بَاقِيَةٌ إِلَىٰ تَقُومِ السَّاعَةِ And the hour is, excuse me, and the hijrah, it is established and continues and remains until the establishment of the hour. And now the author likewise, he says, and the evidence, وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى الْهِجْرَةِ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ And the obligation, or the evidence for the obligation of the hijrah, of migrating from the sunnah, قَوْلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَا تَنْقَطِعُ الْهِجْرَةُ حَتَّى تَنْقَطِعَ التَّوْبَةُ وَلَا تَنْقَطِعُ التَّوْبَةُ حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا That the hijrah will not be cut off until repentance is cut off. Until repentance is cut off. And likewise, the repentance will not be cut off until the sun rises from the west. Until the sun rises from the west. And he meaning until the establishment of the hour, just as the author he had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now we say that the ulama, they have mentioned the ruling with regards to the obligation of hijrah in these days and in the time that we live in. And they mentioned as for the one who lived in the lands of disbelief, and he is not able to establish the rights of his deen outwardly, and he's not able to establish the obligations of his deen outwardly and apparently, then it's an obligation. It will be an obligation for this individual to make hijrah if he has the ability. If he has the ability. The one who lives in a land where he is oppressed and he cannot show his deen and he cannot establish his deen outwardly and he cannot practice his deen properly and he's oppressed because of his religion or persecuted and he cannot display outwardly his deen and establish the sacred rites of Al-Islam, like the daily prayers and the Jumu'ah and the Adhan and the likes like this, then it will be an obligation for him to migrate if he had the ability. If he did not have the ability, then the obligation would not be there, of course. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ But as for the one who lives in a non-Muslim land and he is able to establish his deen, and he is able to establish the sacred rites of Al-Islam, and to establish his deen outwardly, properly, then it's recommended for him, if he has the ability, it's recommended for him to make hijrah. It's recommended for him to make hijrah, but it's not an obligation, because he is able to establish his deen. He's able to establish his deen. Likewise, the ulama, they mention an exception to this issue, and that is for the students of knowledge. The students of knowledge from those lands, or that reside in those lands, it's recommended, rather some of the ulama, they mention highly recommended, for those students to not make hijrah, and for them to remain in their lands, and to be a means of guidance, and to be callers to the sunnah, to at-tawheed, and to the sunnah. And with regards to them, it's not recommended for them. It's not recommended them for to make hijrah. Rather, it's recommended for them to stay in their lands, to be a means of guidance for the Muslims there, and to call the people to the haqq and to the truth. So the hijrah is an obligation, and this is upon the one who is not able to display his deen. He's not able to establish his deen. And if this is the case, and he's physically and financially able, then it's an obligation upon him to do that, to move. An obligation upon him to move to a land, to the land where he can establish that, to the lands of Al-Islam. Also, the ulama, they mention with regards to the issue of Al-Hijrah, and that is sometimes even considered a type of Hijrah, to not necessarily move from one from the lands of disbelief to the lands of belief, and from the lands of kufr to the lands of Al-Islam, but also to move from the area or a land where there the people of the Sunnah are weak to a land where the people of the Sunnah are strong, and the likes like this. And even if a person maybe he didn't make hijrah from the lands of disbelief, but if he could move and migrate to a place within the lands of disbelief where the people of the Sunnah are stronger, where he can benefit more, where they have established the sunnah outwardly and apparently in a good manner by the blessing and the grace of Allah, then it's also recommended for him to move to those lands if he can. If he cannot make hijrah to the lands of the believers, then he will move to the lands where the people of the sunnah are established and where the deen is being applied and being spread properly. And also this is considered a good means for al hijrah, but it's not the actual hijrah. The actual hijrah, as the author mentioned, al intiqalu min balad al shirki ila balad al islam ila balad al islam. But if one is not able to do that, at least he can migrate to the people of the sunnah, to the people from the lands of the people where there's much fasad and there's much negligence. In many communities, you will find the Muslims there. Some of them are upon misguidance, and some of them are upon hizbiyah, and even find some communities where there will be people who ascribe to the sunnah and to salafiyah, but you will find that amongst them there's much fasad, and the indication that their iman is weak and their deen is weak, and there's not much knowledge there, and the likes like this, and so there's much corruption going on in the society there. So if a believer can leave the likes of these communities and go to a community where the Muslims are strong and where they're united upon the haq and where they're aiding and cooperating together and supporting one another to learn and to strive to be obedient and reminding one another and cooperating upon piety and righteousness, and this is something that they are doing as a community, then this is highly recommended and very good for them to leave those societies or those communities where there's where the Muslims are weak and where the Muslims are negligent and where the Muslims are heedless and where the Muslims are divided and where the Muslims are engulfed in sins, and it's apparent in their communities. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a community that is not like that, that is not like that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify the affairs of the believers in our lands and in the world. And there is another type of hijrah, and this is a hijrah that's incumbent and obligatory upon everyone at all times, and that is al-hijrah to ilallahi azza wa jal. الهجرة إلى الله عز وجل بترك معصيته وابتعاد عن محارمه سبحانه وتعالى. To migrate to Allah with obedience. المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.